Jordan.
Raffle. History.
Fuck you like a bunker.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
We'll beat your work for being a little man.
Atlanta, GA, Hotlanta is the free verse town, man.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. A very spirited crowd here today at the Television Sports Arena.
Welcome back, everybody, and happy Friday if you are listening to this on the 18th. If not, happy whatever day of the week it happens to be for you. Welcome to another exciting episode of Georgia Wrestling History TV Talk on the Georgia Wrestling History News Network. I'm Kenny J, here with John Stoney Cannon.
That would be the fabulous Playboy John Stoney Cannon.
All right, sure.
Yeah, see, that's twice that in 1 week that you've screwed that up.
That one's taken. Mr. Keller's already got that. You got to come up with something different.
And you're right, because Mr. Keller's like 50 years older than me, so I guess he deserves
it
more than me.
He can still beat you up.
So. Yeah, well, with his breath.
All right, and we're sitting here once again with Will Wheeler.
What's up, everybody? How y'all doing?
And Mike Garrett.
Yep.
How y'all?
And
that would be Philly Mike Garrett.
And Mr. is probably around somewhere.
Somewhere. I think he ran back there with the hot chick.
Oh, okay. Right on. Cool. Well, before we jump into our usual birthdays and stuff, we've got to point out that SummerSlam is coming up on Sunday, and Mike has the card.
Sunday!
It is. And let's not forget NXT is Saturday, and that's turned into a big thing, NXT Brooklyn.
Sweet.
Real quickly, man, to go over the NXT thing. The matches that, the only ones I know, the singles match that everybody's looking at, Bobby Roode and Drew McIntyre.
Ooh, that's a big one. Two guys just recently popular in TNA.
Right. Yeah, so, I just actually watched that. I had to go to YouTube to watch TNA. That's the only place I could find it.
Yeah, because Vince didn't quite make that purchase a couple years ago.
Yeah. And for the women's NXT, Saturday night is Osaka and Ember Moon. As Will was saying before the show, they're giving her a big push. So this could be one of those like Sasha had or Charlotte had or a lot of women that have went on to do great things.
And that should be a good match, mainly because, you know, WWE has kind of like made their big women's thing off of NXT. But I personally think that NXT manages their women's division a lot better than the WWE does.
They do, yeah. I don't know who heads it up, but they really groom it well. They're protective of it. And then there's a tag team match, the Authors of Pain, with Paul Ellering against Sanity. And that's for the NXT Tag Team Championship. So Paul Ellering, I'm not sure how old he is, but he's down in NXT, probably helping out behind the scenes a lot, but also still doing his thing. There's a couple other matches on there, some up-and-comers, but those are the three big card matches for that. But, so on to the SummerSlam, one of the big four. I'm going to run up from the beginning. And it's kind of hard to believe they had this at the beginning, but Big Show versus Big Cass.
Oh, wow.
What do you guys think about that?
That's
what's
going
to happen?
That's a big match.
Is Big Show going to be paid to put over Big Cass? Or I'm hearing like multiple places say that Cass and Enzo are reuniting at SummerSlam, but I just don't see that. What do you think? What's up?
Well, I mean, they made Cass go singles. And the only way that he's going to go anywhere is if he looks unstoppable. And the only way you look unstoppable is by beating Big Show. So they did the same thing with Strowman.
True.
Yeah. So
when you say to make it as a singles, what the hell are they going to do with Enzo?
I still say Enzo would have been great as would have been better as Cass's
manager.
Like manager.
Yeah, like
or valet or whatever than his partner, because they kind of buried him when they made it, you know, the only way that he can make it in a tag match is if Cass saves his ass.
Yeah,
you know,
something, it worked at NXT, but I told every y'all, we're all in a wrestling group on Facebook, and y'all know I've been very vocal about the point that this is only going to last so long. Like, this is so catchy, so trendy. The how you doing, can't teach that, the whole intro. People are not going to want to hear that a year from now. You know what I mean? They're not going to be in the stands doing it with you a year from now. That's just not that catchy.
So I think Enzo has the I think he has the capability of being a mouth of the South type manager.
Right.
You know, put him with somebody who really, I mean, come on, yeah. Do we really want to hear Cass talk? Every time he opens his mouth, it's kind of meh.
What, the half a roll that I caught last night was Cass trying to do a promo, and it was really weird and awkward because he kept going, "This Sunday at SummerSlam," and he would stop because the crowd would get loud, but he was come to find out he was kind of working them to be loud because after about 5 minutes, Enzo come out and made fun of him and the way he couldn't finish his sentence and all that stuff. You know, doing the good stuff he does on the mic. But it didn't really realize how much Cass sucked on the mic.
Yeah.
Until last night, really.
Yeah, I mean, see, if we could scientifically find a way to put Enzo's mouth on Cass's body, we would almost have, like, the perfect wrestler. But then again, that would get old after a while.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, it would.
At least with Enzo, you could put him with different people.
Yeah,
yeah. That's what kept like people like Jimmy Mouth of the South and Cornette. That's what kept them going is putting them with different people, letting them kind of become a part of them. You know, the best managers not only know how to talk, they know how to talk and have words come out of their mouth, but have their words actually point at the wrestlers. And I think Enzo would be possibly good at that.
Wow, he's good at that.
Oh, I can
he's
see it now. Good. My Bill B. Cass will take the title over here. How you doing? I'm the baddest man in the room is Big Cass. Just,
yeah.
You can do something like that.
I think it would be awesome. So
I really don't
I guess the original question was get Big Show against Big Cass.
Yeah, I kind of leaning toward them, but never Big Cass.
I think so.
They got to put over Big Cass. It's,
I'm not really sure if that...
Yeah. He's that.
I can see that as an opening show, because that's probably going to be a very cumbersome kind of yawny show.
Yeah, I hate it, but yeah.
While he's reading the SummerSlam thing, the episode we're watching of World Championship Wrestling is Abdullah the Butcher. Look who he's taking on. Graham. Billy Graham. That's a main event match right there. So, all right, I'm sorry. I'm so in awe. We're watching this.
Yeah,
all right, so what else
the
is
the next
on
one, the New Day versus the Usos, which has been a pretty good, fun, entertaining build-up for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. I don't even know who has them now. The New Day won them.
New Day, yeah.
We watched that.
Yeah.
This is a rematch. A SummerSlam rematch, though, so I'm going to go with the Usos.
You think it's going to go back that quick?
Only because of SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And they always, title changes are about there. Quite a bit of title changes happen on SummerSlam.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And it's generally one of the tag titles will switch hands.
Yeah.
Let me just say I'm digging Abdullah's elf shoes.
There you go.
Yeah. You know who else has shoes
you
like
you
that?
Can't really, you can't get really go wrong with
Shiki baby
with those two tag teams though in a match. Either one of them in a match makes for they're probably two of the best tag teams out there.
Yeah,
so
they are. And the Usos have come a very long way on the mic with the mic skills and stuff. So like that confidence, and they're dragging around. So who y'all got? The Usos.
I'm thinking this would be one of those cases where the title doesn't change hands. I think they're going to build up for something bigger.
Well, y'all know me. I'm a New Day fan, so that's fine with me. But I kind of see the Usos kind of coming out of their shell at SummerSlam because they got the new look a couple months ago.
They're still not sure. They're still not sure if they're Samoan or not, but I got you.
All right, next one. I can't believe this is only third, but it is SummerSlam. Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt, and I did see last night where he poured a bunch of blood of Abigail on him or something like that. So Finn Balor is now going to be the Demon King, like last year at SummerSlam against Seth Rollins. So bringing the Demon King back for this one against Bray Wyatt, which is very appropriate. What do y'all think?
Oh, without a doubt. Definitely.
That should... And I agree with you. That's awful low on the card because that is going to be that has the potential to be a great match.
Yeah.
I mean, both of them are really really good in the ring.
Yeah.
So, and what makes this match even better is, this isn't another one of those House of Horror matches where the ring's going to turn into worms and crap, is
it? Yeah, I hope not. Okay. And let's hope that it's not one where Finn Balor puts his arm back and sock it halfway through.
Yeah.
Like we did against Seth Rollins on that move last year.
Last year. That was SummerSlam.
That just, oh gosh.
That was bad. But give it up for the guy. I'm going to go with Finn. They've been giving him a push week and week. I mean, they don't let him lose often, even in a run-in situation. So.
Yeah, but at the same time, Wyatt doesn't lose often.
He doesn't.
No matter the situation.
He doesn't, but did he get on Vince's shit list with the, what's her name, the ring announcer, getting the news, blah, blah, blah. Vince got a funny way of making it. No, I'm probably reading too much into that, but I'm going to go with the Demon King on that. The first ever Raw champion. What's that title called?
Universal title. I'm going to go with the Demon King.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that.
See, I'm going to go the other way.
I think I'm with you.
We're going to go. We're going with Wyatt. So we're split down the middle.
I like some money on it.
Steve's got me.
Oh, sure.
Steve got you. He's a corporate guy.
Steve's got me.
Next on the list is the sleeper. As in, we'll take a nap. Randy Orton versus Rusev. I love an Orton match, but I've never seen a good Rusev match. What do you guys think?
I don't even know what they're doing with that.
But at the same time, Orton has this way of... He's like Flair, you know, and like Dusty, and he has the ability to make other people look better.
Right.
You know, so... The hard part with Orton is they built so much into that last thing with Wyatt and how they took a swerve after that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Orton just kind of ended up just where, okay, you're the guy we're just going to shove in there somewhere.
Yeah, I think they week to week changed their mind heavily as they were writing that.
So, that's a shame because he's consistent talent.
Yeah. So, who are you going with? I'm going to go with Orton.
Yeah.
Orton lost to Brock at last year's SummerSlam, I think it was, in a very, very pathetic way. So, I'm going to go with Orton.
Yeah, Orton.
And Orton failed.
As well.
He failed to win that Punjabi prison match.
but you kind of had a figure when you saw that match, he was going to go over.
Yeah.
It didn't take a rocket science to figure that one out.
All right, next up is Cena and Corbin, a match that kind of came out of nowhere as well.
Well, the sad part about that is as you know, it's funny, as much as so many people can't stand Cena, one thing we know about Cena is Cena doesn't seem to be able to have a bad match.
Yeah, and... But the problem is, I don't think he's gonna lose at SummerSlam.
The problem is with that match. While Cena never seems to be able to have a bad match, Baron Corbin is about as boring and dull of a match as you can get.
Sometimes I have seen him actually entertain me.
Yeah,
it's not. I mean, yeah, he's slow. He's a slow in-ring worker, but
I really don't get what the whole point of it is.
Well, here's a good example.
Yeah. Here's a good example. The flag match was entertaining.
Yeah.
You're talking about Rusev, but when you have somebody like Cena who can make another wrestler look better than he really is, more exciting.
Well, I think the match should be, and this is just me talking, y'all probably are going to have a different opinion than me. I think John Cena and Shinsuke that they gave away for free on SmackDown should be a SummerSlam match.
I agree.
It's a lot better match than this.
Yeah, and it's a lot better than Shinsuke versus, what's his name, Mahal?
Yeah.
Who cares?
But I think at the same time, I think that they are really, really, really trying, just like with Roman, they are really, really trying to get the lone wolf over. And how will Steve get the lone wolf over by having him beating the guy that half the WWE Universe hates and half of them likes, you know?
Well,
so
I'm going to go first on my prediction here. I'm going to say John Cena wins this match because it's SummerSlam. But I'm going to also say that during the Shinsuke Mahal match that he cashes in his money in the bank. And he leaves SummerSlam as a champion. You heard it here first. You don't see that happen.
I mean, that makes sense to me.
Where else?
I mean, Cena's like the top dog. So I mean, everybody would. Yeah. So.
And if he did want to lose, he'd lose. But I mean, if he doesn't, Vince is like, okay. You know what I mean? You're good.
More if he has the Hogan contract.
Yeah. Kind of, he's the face, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of what he says goes. So what do y'all think? Cena or Corbin?
Cena. So I think Corbin, just because I think that they're really trying to push him. Right. They're really trying to get him over, and I don't know why, because I really haven't been so too impressed with what they've done with him so far.
But
so.
You don't think a Money in the Bank would get him over at the end of the night?
It's possible. Right. But I mean, but you got to think about it. Who's he cashing in on again?
Either Shinsuke or Jinder Mahal. Hopefully he would bash Jinder Mahal's teeth in with that dented up briefcase and get that.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you.
I don't know how much of the crowd. It all depends. I think they're trying to get Corbin over as a heel. So it's kind of hard to do that in that scenario. Maybe against.
Not really.
You got
the other way.
Yeah, not really, because Shinsuke's the face going into this match.
Yeah.
So if Shinsuke gets beat some kind of dumb way, you know, and he comes in there and gets Mahal, he's still a heel. You know, a heel. You know, he didn't help Shinsuke out. But I'm going to be honest. Baron Corbin would be an equal champion as far as equally freaking boring as Jinder Mahal. So that's my take. Next up is AJ and Kevin for the 50th time. That's actually the one I'm going to say I'll probably snooze on.
Yeah.
Love AJ Styles. He put some great matches. But, I mean, I've seen this match.
They both put on. They're both real solid.
They opened up SmackDown 2 weeks ago with a terrific match.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at this point, I've seen it. I don't really know. It's a 50-50 toss-up, so I'm not going to call a winner on this one.
But at the same time, it's those matches where you go, oh, it's the same old crap.
Yeah.
That at the end of the night you go, oh my god, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that have the potential to catch you off guard when you're sitting there thinking, oh, it's the same old, same old.
Yeah, sure. Exactly.
Especially when you're talking about those two wrestlers. So,
y'all want to pick a winner there? I didn't.
That one could go either way.
It could.
Either or.
Because both of them are kind of floundering right now. They're really not.
Stoney, you probably would agree with me. I don't think that the creative team really cares about coming out with the outcome until they get to the building. I think then both of the wrestlers would be told what to do.
Yeah. Well, you know, in a lot of ways, you kind of have to go that route because you have to listen to what your audience is saying. Because now the audience speaks everywhere. Online, on the website. Media.
In the comments, you know, on the line, on the website.
Everywhere. And if you have a research team the size of the WWE, you can always get a feel for what the audience thinks is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And when the audience thinks it's going to happen, you have opportunity to take it a different direction and make what they think, when everybody thinks it's going to go one way and you send it the other way, that's when you have oh shit moments.
True.
You know? So,
we can't call it, but it may be good.
Look out for a Shyamalan Amanda level twist.
Yes.
So, Shyamalan.
All right, for the SmackDown Women's title is Naomi and Natalya. I really hate to see either one of them lose, but I think Natalya has been getting a solid push for months now. I think she might get that belt before she calls it a day.
Yeah. And it could possibly be, I mean, I think a lot of people were kind of shocked, speaking of going the direction people don't expect, I think a lot of people were kind of surprised when Natty actually got the nod to go for the belt.
Yep.
You know, because, I mean, she's been kind of the veteran putting over other people lately.
Yeah, she has been the veteran of all the women. Yeah. Mickey James come back, but I still think Mickey would probably give her the nod. I do think Natty's been doing well, and another reason I kind of believe they're giving her a push, and she knows it, is she's been playing that heel character to a T.
Yeah.
Really good, man. She's been just, you could tell she was going somewhere with it. I'm going to pick Natty.
I wouldn't mind. And I mean, I think a lot of people were surprised when, you know, with our current champion, when she got the belt. You know, I mean, she, I don't know, you know, kind of like a Jinder Mahal. Yeah. All of a sudden, boom, you know what I mean?
Hey, at least Naomi's been around a long damn time. Yeah. She has been, you know, she hasn't came and gone and came and gone. She's steadily been there, you know, doing her thing.
The same thing with Natty. Yeah. I think she's kind of like past her due. Yeah. So,
oh, way past.
So, and I don't know whether Will and Kenny would agree with me, but I know that Mikey over here would agree with me. That belt would sure look damn sexy around her waist, because that's one sexy woman right there.
Yeah.
And for one, I hope Natty does go over, because I'm tired of the light show on that belt.
Yeah. I told my wife, I said, there's a little button in the back of that belt that when they turn the lights on after she comes down from the entrance, Naomi, that she pushes, because I saw her do it 2 or 3 times. She goes, my wife goes, I don't think so. I think it just glows in the dark. I'm like, okay, we'll watch this. And of course, it was the time that they flew back up to the ramp for another competitor and didn't show it. But they did go out. Triple H has been building belts like hell. It's crazy. Let's move on. Everybody good with Natalya? What did you say, Will?
I'm gonna go with Natalya because I'm sick of the light up.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna go with Natty just because I'd like to see her sexy ass and some bling, baby.
What you doing, Ken?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, all right, next is Neville and Akira Tozawa, who actually won the Cruiserweight Championship last night on Raw, which is rare.
Yeah.
He's with this Titus brand kind of thing I don't understand yet, but there's that match. I really don't care.
I don't either.
I'm kind of different here. I mean, I haven't really been all that excited about the cruiserweight thing because it's been kind of. But I gotta say, I like this odd matchup of Tozawa and the Titus brand, especially when the other guy and especially when Apollo kind of sticks his nose in a little bit,
because
there's a good chemistry, and it's kind of funny because. You have one wrestler who barely speaks English, but yet when he does try to, it's entertaining, but he doesn't have to do it all the time.
And he's got a cool little mouthpiece trend they got going with those guys, too.
And he's fun to watch in the ring when he does, You know, he's exciting to watch in the ring, and they're both really good in the ring. I mean, if you like the high-flying cruiserweight thing.
Oh, so, Neville's by far amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. So, my pick is that he retains.
Akira?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say
yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's kind of... That's good. It would be a quick title change.
Yeah.
On a side note, they killed the Apollo Titus thing. It's no longer...
Oh, man.
They killed it. It's not... So we all kind of go with Akira there. Next is Alexa Bliss. Here on what I'm reading on the card says Sasha Banks or Nia Jax, but Sasha put Nia in the bank statement 3 times in a row last night for the win. So it's going to be Sasha versus Alexa. And anybody that knows me knows I'm going for Sasha.
Can you make a comment?
No.
We're already about 3 matches too long, aren't we?
Yeah, no shit. That's that brand split, man.
What do you say, Kenny? Sasha or who else?
It's Alexa Bliss or Sasha. Both.
Yeah, Bliss. Bliss.
Bliss is going to be a multiple time champion. They're going to let her lose and get badly, you know, all that.
Oh man, it's like I don't know. I think about this match and I just picture 2 13-year-old girls fighting on a playground over a boy.
Yeah,
just.
He was looking at me during lunch.
I'm just glad Carmella's not.
At least Carmella's nowhere on this card.
Amen.
Her and Ellsworth will be in the pre-show somewhere with them camouflage spandex, yoga pants on, being where they should be.
You know, with the two brands, is she eligible to cash in on this one?
You know, I think.
Is this a SmackDown or a Raw? I can't even keep up with that crap anymore.
It was a SmackDown thing, so I'm assuming it's SmackDown. Because it's a SmackDown card.
She could cash in on the Naomi and Natalya thing, and Lord Stoney.
This is SummerSlam. This is both brands, isn't it?
So how bad would we hate it if Carmella cashed in on Natalya? As soon as she won it. How bad would we be mad?
I would be mad if Carmella cashed in her Money in the Bank on Enzo.
Yeah.
Or the Lone Wolf.
God.
Or the shittiest wrestler on the planet.
We share the same disdainment for Carmelo.
I just really don't.
I'd rather see Carmelo Anthony wrestle than.
They shouldn't use their mind.
Oh, here you go. Here's where Magnum TA almost like strips baby doll naked in a promo.
Oh, goody.
Blondes do have more fun, don't they? Look, she's just about to pass out.
And Magnum TA recently was denied entry to Disney because he owned a safe. Because of safe.
The announcer's smiling way too hard at that. Like, he's
like, whoa!
I was like, wow!
This is better than HBO.
Look, there you go. Oh my god, we almost had Booby.
Hey, there we go.
Here comes Sully. And we have a real cat fight. All right, any more? Okay, so we're on Bliss and.
Yeah, Bliss. I'm going with Sasha. Who you got?
Bliss.
Who you got?
Gosh, I don't know. I guess Bliss.
I'm going to go with Sasha. Not that I'm a fan, but I think, you know, she is so over.
I know,
right? I think it's about time they actually do something with her. You know what I mean?
And actually give her the belt for longer than 2 days?
Yeah.
Good. Me too. All right. Next up is the I don't give a fuck match. Sorry. Jinder Mahal and Shinsuke. I don't give a shit. I don't care. I don't see this match being any good at all. Like I say, Cena and Shinsuke was the main event for SummerSlam, and they gave that away.
Well, I mean... But here you have the opportunity for Nakamura to win the title and for the Money in the Bank cash in, yada yada yada. Because, you know, people would be like, oh my god, look, he won the title, yay!
If Shinsuke wins the title, you know it's going to be Baron Corbin's coming down that ramp. Because Vince McMahon is Vince McMahon is not ready to let him represent with a belt like that. Especially
and, and as hard as they're trying to get Baron Corbin over, that would be one good attempt to get him over.
Yeah.
Look, Blanchard against Danny Brown should be a good title, a good match.
Yeah. Tully always had good
match. I did like that version of the U.S. title.
All right, so I'm thinking Nakamura's going to go over.
I'm thinking the Money in the Bank's cashed in this one.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I don't
give two shit. The only way to make this match worth a damn is to cash in on it.
You have to. It'd be no choice.
The fans don't care about Jinder Mahal whatsoever.
Or we can go over time and, oh, I guess it's not really a pay-per-view, so they can't actually cut the show short, so, oh well.
Who knows?
You know, I mean, I figure the cable company might cut the show short if one of the other matches went long.
Oh, yeah, no, Vince says the cable company.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go with Shinsuke and then, Money in the Bank cash in, which I got.
I think Shinsuke with Money in the Bank cash in.
That sounds pretty
good. Yeah, that sounds good.
Let him get robbed so he'll be more sympathetic. Alright.
Of course, this comes out Friday, and if WWE is really listening to the audience, they hear us say that, then they're going to change it the other way, because if we all expect that to happen. But whatever.
I don't think we're that important.
We'll be
getting there, damn it.
I don't know. I mean, the old nosebleed section show. Joe and I, we got lectured by George Wrestling History because somebody from WWE corporate called because we were always dissing WWE.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's when you know that you need to do it more, man. Hey, man. News is news, and if you're in it, it's good.
Yeah, I don't know why Mike's talking about this SummerSlam shit because it sucks. Screw the WWE.
Yeah.
Bring back Southeastern Wrestling, baby.
Yes.
More like wonky wrestling entertainment.
All
right. It's okay, Vince. We'll make up for it in a few minutes.
Speaking of all those adjectives, the next one is Brock versus Braun versus Roman versus Samoa Joe for the Universal Championship.
Ooh. Wow. Well, first of all, I'm going to say this. They're all wrestling for a belt that nobody gives two rats' ass about.
No, because Brock ruined its value.
Well, it was never a word. The Universal title. It was never really a match. They should have brought back the big NWA Gold World's title.
Oh, yeah. That's
not
what I thought.
That crap.
That's my favorite one.
You know?
My favorite. I love that.
The best belt of all time.
If you're going to have another title, the Universal title. Really? Universal.
Yeah.
That just makes me think of UWF, which
it's the same as the other one. One's blue, one's red.
Yeah.
That's the same.
And when I first heard Universal title, I thought Bill Watts was going to come out for pizza.
Exactly.
All right, so the angle that Paul Heyman said that Brock's going to leave if he loses, he's leaving WWE, blah, blah, blah. You think we might finally get our wish? And
that'd be awesome.
That'd be great.
That'd be great.
He's not really in the WWE for That's in my eyes.
No, he shows up and does one promo. He shows up at the pay-per-view, quote-unquote, and he throws a few suplexes, and then the match is over. That's basically it.
When he did the Goldberg thing and got the belt, he didn't wrestle for 10 weeks.
Yeah.
Nobody saw the belt for 12 weeks.
Huh.
So, yeah, nobody gives a shit about it. I really don't care
Coke binge or something?
If I had a gun to my head and said pick a
He's probably farming he's probably doing his business with Sable too.
Okay.
If somebody put a gun to my head and said pick a more, I'd have to go with the way they push Roman. They're trying to get him over ever how they can. He's retired the Undertaker. He's won the Battle Royal. Royal Rumble. He's won the what the hell hadn't he done? They did everything they could. So, I don't know. And I kind of think that Roman will get the pin on whoever. But who knows? I don't think they'll give it to Braun. I don't think so. What do y'all think?
Roman. I mean, yeah, they why not build them up and then have more people go crazy?
Yeah, sure. What do you think, Kenny?
Roman, because he's like Vince's best friend. His BFF. His man crush.
Are you going to play devil's advocate again, or are you...
I think...
Four people to choose here.
I really think... Who again? Who?
Croc. Roman. Samoa. And some other fat ass.
Yeah.
Tubby.
Braun.
Strowman.
Yeah, I think... I think Brock wins, and he next time we see him, he defends the title at WrestleMania.
That would really suck. But yeah. I think it's obviously happening.
I mean, it wouldn't suck. Do any of us give a crap about the Universal title?
No, but I'd like to see it on Raw every now and then. You know, like that'd be cool.
I mean, what could happen is we could have whoever wins, then Triple H could come out and find a way to win it from them, and then we wouldn't see it till the following year's WrestleMania.
Triple H always gears up around Rumble time so he can get ready for WrestleMania. He's too good for SummerSlam. Yeah. Then he would come out. He's got NXT going Saturday night anyway. So.
Yeah. Oh, well.
That's good.
Hey. Oh, without a doubt.
Well, that's the SummerSlam rundown. That's every match.
Sweet.
All right. So.
Cool. Well, that bell means it's time for commercial. So, for the most part. So, we'll be back in just a minute.
We're back with WCW. Goldberg's in trouble. Ming to the front. Back he goes to the turnbuckle. Into the gut. But Goldberg rebounds with a headbutt. Ming on the outside. Ming gets a chair. Goldberg gets a chair. This could get ugly. They're gonna eat pizza.
Little Caesar's WCW meal. Get a free WCW motion card when you order two medium pizzas for just $9.99. Collect all four.
Pizza, pizza.
I'll trade you these three for a Goldberg.
Hey guys, this is Stoney from GWH TV. If you're like me and dig your wrestling old school and from the South, check out Georgia Wrestling History Online for archives, current area indie shows and results, plus cool discussions on GWH radio. Just visit gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com. Georgia Wrestling History, capturing the legends of yesterday and covering the stars of today.
You wanted the best, you got the best. The hottest classic wrestling in the world. GWH on the Georgia Wrestling History Network. Classic matches, classic look, just classic.
Check us out on the GWH website and at facebook.com/GWHTV.
Welcome back, everybody, from that very brief commercial break. Before we move along into the beginning of our show, lots of laughs, so to speak.
Not for the beginning, but okay.
Will had one more mini news catch-up tidbit.
All right. I talk about the studcast with the Ron Fuller, who was wrestled throughout the Southeast, and the size are prevalent, but the fact of the matter is this podcast is rising. TNStud.com if you want to check it out, but it's now available on iTunes, Arcadian Vanguard, Google Play, Stitcher. So if you want to get the extra feature, and then if you want to backtrack from beginning and play catch up, whatever you want to do, it's available on there right now. So check it out if you want to hear some good old stories about America and how the professional wrestling business happened. Some very good stories, and it's very hilarious too. Wrestling, if you want to hear about wrestling bears and drunk bears, that's your story.
You might want to repeat that, because Stoney just added a bunch of fart noises over.
You know what's really hilarious? What's hilarious is Will knows more about the Studcast than our podcast.
I mean, everybody's got their favorite that they listen to. And,
Will sleeps at night, and when he rolls over, he's like, Ron Full of Studcast.
So it's always good to take a look around and, you know, support other podcasts and, you know,
post show.
Yeah, I mean, we can't take credit as and like, he also the best too or is, anything.
And since he's so popular, he's on. You listen to the Jim Cornette Experience. He has a story time with a stud.
That was fun.
Isn't it Talking Sense? That's the one I listen to.
Yeah, that's you'll see and you hear it sometimes.
I am obsessed with Jim Cornette's podcast. I do love it. Now, he talks some stuff that I just can't get into a lot, but the way he delivers it is funny.
So all you people out there that know Will, if you can't reach Will, you know it's that time of the day.
It's the stud time.
Yeah, it's stud time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're all pumping out.
Right about right now, stud music is playing.
I got to put a face with this Ron Fuller, man.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to. It might even get even scarier. All right, where are we going? Wait, we also want to mention before we get too deep in the show, since we're already about halfway done already, we also want to mention thoughts go out to Ric Flair.
Yes, and yeah. Family.
On this week's show, Monday GWH TV, actually the guys were on there. Kind of did a little mini episode, and we had a 1986 house show match, championship match, Ric Flair against Dusty Rhodes, and with an interesting ending and other people coming in. So check that out this Monday. I think you'll dig it.
Oh yeah,
so. definitely.
All right, now you can take us through our whatever.
All right, cool. Well, with the mini catch up news out of the way, it's time for the beginning of our show, where we go over birthdays for the next week and. And more prevalent news. So I will kick things off here. August 18th, Friday, if you were listening today, Friday. Tom Pritchard's birthday.
I love you.
All right. And tomorrow, Saturday, August 19th, Tim Horner and Lillian Garcia celebrate their birthday.
Man, I don't know. Horner and Lillian Garcia. Just wait a minute. No, Horny and Lillian. Yeah, wow. That's your birthday, too?
No, but I'd like a lap dance from Lillian Garcia.
Yeah, can we make that lap dance this week?
Yeah, woo! Man,
she's like the hottest chick ever.
I don't know, she's kind of too classy for us to be sending out for.
It's true. That's why I like her.
Well, I don't know, because there's a really hot one on later birthdays, too, so we might have to debate on that lap dance.
Really quick, when her dad was doing some med, she kind of left the business for a while. Actually, on Twitter, she tweeted something, and I replied, like, I hope your dad's doing good. Really miss you. Call him, you know, blah, blah, blah. She actually replied. I have to go back and see what it was, but that's not every day. And as fine as she is, you know how many people probably tweet toward her every day?
Yep.
Oh, but yeah, she's classic.
Sunday, August 20th, Byron Saxon and Brad Lynch.
Okay.
Their birthdays. Monday, the 21st, Keith Hart, Nathan Jones, Eve Torres and Chad Parham.
We may have to, on Eve Torres, we may have to put, this might be another lap dance.
Yeah. I would send her out before I would send out Lillian. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, I'd rather keep Lillian for myself. I'd rather share Eve Torres. I'm just saying.
A lot of people have to share.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Let's see. Tuesday, August 22nd. We got Paul Ellering, Stevie Ray, Logan Creed, and Apollo Crews.
I don't know who Logan Creed is off the top of my head, if that's not Xavier. I do know all four of them are pretty cool individuals. I really like Apollo. I really like Stevie Ray. He was super great.
And Logan Creed's a very big indie wrestler in the state of Georgia.
Yeah. It's a big indie week. I mean, The August 21st birthday is, you know, other than Eve Torres, you had some pretty much, you know, Chad Parham NWA Anarchy wrestler there for a while. So you had a lot of indies this week. So, but of course, when your database is Georgia Wrestling History, you will get some indie wrestlers from the area as part of your birthday list. So that's good. So thank you, GWH. All right, sorry.
Cool. And we got nothing for Win the Day, but Thursday, August 24th, Rocky Johnson, Shoichi Funaki, and Vince McMahon.
Indeed.
So Rocky Johnson and Vince share a birthday?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Wow.
Yeah, they share a son, too.
Right. And we're not talking about The Rock. We're talking
I am talking about
the people. Some of the younger ones may be like, it's not The Rock's birthday.
Well, I meant the son they share is The Rock.
Somebody's at home going, it's The Rock's birthday? And they're remembering that time he told Mankind, you stupid son of a bitch, my birthday's on May 22nd.
So I don't know, we should probably be nice so we don't get a phone call. You're fired. I'm suing you. I'm going to buy all your stuff and I'm going to put you on the... Well, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
If we were on the WWE Network, so...
Syndication.
Yeah.
You can do appearances then.
Come on, Vince. Yeah, for real. Bring us in.
And I just want to say, this is 72 for Vince, right?
I think so.
Man. He's like holding up very, very
well. Yeah, he don't look 72.
No, he looks like he's in his 50s.
He's a genetic jackhammer. What do you expect?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's our birthdays, and who are we sending out for the lap dances, you guys?
I don't know. I think Eve Torres is pretty good.
Lillian Torres.
Okay.
Lillian Torres, there you go.
Well, Eve Garcia.
Okay. Why not?
I tell you what, this is what we'll do. We'll send out...
Can I tweet we'll send out.
We'll send out Eve. We'll send out Eve Torres to everybody. But, hey Vince, we're going to send you Lillian. Just saying.
You need something class?
Yeah, we're going to send you Lillian. Especially since I think you're well... Hey, look, it's Miss Georgia Lively.
A.K.A. Ronnie Garvin.
Yep.
It's one of my favorite wrestlers as a kid right there. It was like one of my very, very, very favorites. And since they can't see, that would be the Boogie Woogie Man.
Yep.
Boogie Woogie.
He was good, man. The coolest thing was whenever he would like put his knee on some dude's face and the referee would be trying to count to five, so he'd get up, he'd just pick the referee's face up and start talking to him and distract him. It was kind of cool. It was really cool.
Alright, well, happy birthday, guys.
Happy birthday to all of our wrestlers for the next week.
So, in case you guys don't know, Funaki is now part of the Japanese announced team.
Alrighty, we got our birthdays out of the way, and we've got some, in the news however many years ago today, and Will is going to kick this one off for us.
24 years ago today, WCW presented the Clash of the Champions 24 in Daytona Beach, featuring three big title matches, and one big moment happened away in one of the biggest gaffes in wrestling history. Fred Ottman debuted as the Shockmaster, stumbling through a wall and losing his sparkly Stormtrooper helmet. He was mentioned on an early episode. Matches were as follows. Arn Anderson and Paul Roma defeat Steve Austin and Lord Steven Regal to win the NWA WCW Tag Championship. Two Cool Scorpio pins Bobby Eaton. Johnny B. Bad defeats Max Payne. As a result of the win, he gets Max Payne's guitar. Ricky Steamboat defeated Paul Orndorff to win the NWA WCW World TV Championship. Sting and Ric Flair defeated the Colossal Kongs. Dusty Rhodes and Mystery Partner Lord Warrior Hawk defeated the Equalizer and Rick Rude. Big Band Vader defeated Davey Boy Smith to retain the WCW World Heavyweight Championship. And on to you, Stoney.
Man, those are some weird matches, for sure. So.
I weirded out reading it.
The Colossal Kings.
Colossal Kongs. Kings, Kongs. All right, 28 years ago on August 19th, TBS airs a rerun of World Championship Wrestling. For reals. TBS shows the July 29th episode, a previously unaired episode that featured such stellar groundbreaking moments as Rick Steiner and super fan Robin Green's first date. For those of you unfamiliar, Green would be repackaged as woman the following week. Also, Ric Flair breaks Dick Slater's arm using Terry Funk's branding iron after Slater wrestles Sting. The funniest part of the show... The show's main event is never recorded and had to be retaped 3 days after the original taping. Oddly enough, this is how Ric Flair started off his run as head booker for WCW.
Ric Flair.
Yep, Ric Flair.
Wow. All right. Well, this one goes way, way, way back. 63 years ago today, on August 20th, not today. In Atlanta, Georgia, June Byers defeats Mildred Burke to win the NWA World Women's Championship in a best 2 out of 3 falls contest with a 1 hour time limit. Since Byers was up a fall when time ran out, she was awarded the bell. A couple of interesting facts. This was an actual shoot match, and also to Burke in the NWA, the result didn't count as the title was sanctioned at the time. Following Byers' retirement a couple years later as champion, the Fabulous Moolah would win the title and would start a dramatic change in women's wrestling. And then 21 years ago, also on the 20th, at a WCW Saturday night taping in Dalton, Georgia, Lord Steven Regal defeated Lex Luger to win the WCW World Television Championship. And Mike, what do you got for us?
I'm going to go back nearly 4 decades, 38 years ago, August 21st, in Tampa, Florida, Dusty Rhodes defeated Harley Race to win the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, ending Race's 926-day run as champion.
Woo!
It's like 2.5 years, if I don't have a calculator.
Right. At
the time, it was the 5th longest run in the belt's history, and no one else would hold the belt for that lengthy of a run until Dan Severn's run from 95 to 99. As far as runs, on this run, Dusty would hold the title all for 5 days. I don't recall who he lost that to. Then 2 decades ago, 20 years ago on August 21st, WCW presented Clash of the Champions 35. WWE from the Municipal Auditorium in Nashville, Tennessee. This would be the final edition of the long-running series of specials. First presented as NWA Clash of Champions in March of 88, kind of competing with WrestleMania 4. Clash of the Champions followed a format similar to WWF Saturday Night's main event, presenting pay-per-view caliber matches on free television. With WCW producing monthly pay-per-views and the weekly Monday Nitro, the series kind of outlived its usefulness and was eventually phased out. From 4 a year, 99, they had 5, to 2 a year from 95 to 97. But the card on August 21st is as follows. Steve Mungo, the most boring guy ever, McMichael, defeated Jeff Jarrett to win the WCW United States Championship. Raven defeated Stevie Richards in a no disqualification match. Alex Wright defeated Ultimo Dragon to win the WCW World Television Championship. A lot of belts are changing hands. Chris Jericho defeated Eddie Guerrero to retain the WCW Cruiserweight Championship in what I'm sure was an amazing match. Psychosis, Silver King, Villano 5 defeated Juventud Guerrero, Super Kalo, Hector Garza, and Liz Mark Jr. And Ric Flair and Kurt Hennig defeated Conan in 6, and what I would assume would be the main event. Scott Hall and Randy Savage, subbed for Kevin Nash, defeated DDP, Diamond Dallas Page, and Lex Luger to retain the WCW Tag Team Championships. And that's all. I'm strictly sticking with the 21st of August. So. Will?
Full circle.
All right. 35 years ago, on August 22nd, Wahoo McDaniel defeated Sergeant Slaughter to win the NWA United States title. And then 30 years ago, on August 24th, in Memphis, Tennessee, Don Bass defeated Jerry Lawler to win the AWA Southern Heavyweight Championship. The win ended Lawler's 50th reign as champion, but Lawler went it back just 4 days later, just a month later, would vacate the title in order to try and win the AWA Tag Championship. The King would win the best one final time in late 1987 before it was unified with the AWA International Heavyweight and the NWA Mid-American Heavyweight Championships to create the Continental Wrestling Association Heavyweight Championship.
51 reigns.
Yep.
Yes, 51.
Yep.
He is the King.
Yep.
Yep.
I think he ended up with it, what, 50, 52 times, 53 times, something like that?
At least. Man,
so,
dude, that's crazy.
So, and actually, going back to when Kenny was talking about the Byers-Burke match, that was actually the reason that the NWA and Mildred Burke were having an issue is that title was actually not recognized at the time. As an official belt. It wasn't a sanctioned belt at the time.
Right on, right on. Cool. Well, that was
moments in wrestling throughout the next week in history.
August is pretty slim.
Oh, yeah.
Clash of Champions was great. Always was. I loved it.
I still remember going to the one here in Augusta, taking Alexis with her sting mask when she was like 4.
Well, it was cool being able to watch something that you didn't have to pay $34.99 for, but it was like, it was a pay-per-view.
Well, especially the early ones when, you know, not everybody really had the ability to get pay-per-view or even knew how to get pay-per-view, you know, so to actually be able to watch.
Everything was so complicated back then.
Well, and back then, the other thing that was good is the only time you saw main event matches was it pay-per-views. It wasn't like now where you saw the wrestlers that are going to wrestle at the pay-per-view quote-unquote event are wrestling in some form every week.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know why they have pay-per-views anymore. It's almost...
I'll tell you, Saturday night's main event, the rival they were trying to emulate, was so popular that once every month, Saturday night's main event came on at 11:30, and Saturday Night Live did not come on. That's how popular that was.
Oh, wow. They didn't want to compete.
No, they just had a
Well, I'm sure they wanted to watch it, too. So, yeah.
Well, it was both NBC, too. But nothing else since then or before then in the history since it started in 73, I think Saturday Night Live started. 74.
It's somewhere around there, 75, 74.
Yeah, something like...
It's definitely the mid-70s.
Yeah, because the 40th anniversary was a couple years ago, so yeah. And that whole time, nothing has ever bothered that time slot for that show. But Saturday Night's main event was always a blockbuster show. It was great. Some of the best moments in WWF history were on that show.
Definitely sounds like a good reason to take a break from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean,
last week when I said the two referees, the Hogan deal, that was on Saturday Night's main event. That was a huge deal. Crazy.
All right. Well, with all of the formalities out of the way, we did mention Monday's episode, minisode rather, is going to feature a Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes match, and our topic of discussion for tonight, now that we are reaching the final minutes of our episode, each of us is going to talk about one or more, if applicable, of our favorite Ric Flair matches throughout his career.
It's actually one of the toughest topics we've ever
had. He's had so many.
I can't really name one. I can name a million. There's so many. So many. You know, I don't think any other wrestler in my lifetime has done as many 60-minute matches as Ric Flair.
He goes on for a while.
I think
the first or one of the first Flair matches that I watched was Flair and Kern in 86, or a championship match. And I don't know, it was about a 20-minute match. It was a lot of, like, just old-school moves, just like, you know, grappling and holding, and, you know, whiffed elbow drops. It was just one of those that just kept bringing the action. And in the end, Flair defended his title. And I'd say that's probably, I mean, that one stands out to me the most. Actually, that was in our first episode of our TV show. First or second, it was back towards the beginning of our...
I'd have to get with Will off air and figure out which one it is, but one of my favorites was the one that went 60 minutes and then they were mad because they didn't meet each other and kept going, was Terry Funk and Ric Flair. And I don't even remember. I just remember the match. He's had so many. The dude's wrestled like 600,000 times. I'd have to.
He's crossing other forms of media.
Well, you know, Flair versus... We had talked about this recently, but Flair versus Funk, Clash of Champions 9.
Oh, man.
You know, is credited as being one of the top five of Flair's matches, period.
Yeah.
But is also considered one of the greatest matches of all time.
Those two guys really put on a good match.
I mean, they did. It was tremendous.
Me personally, I would. It's kind of a tie for me, and it's like the same wrestler. I would say Wrestle War 89.
Oh yeah.
Ricky Steamboat. But I would also say at the same time, Clash of Champions 6, also Ricky Steamboat.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah.
And what an honor for Ricky Steamboat to be mentioned in like three or four of the greatest matches that ever wrestled. Because the WrestleMania 3 with
without a doubt.
With Savage.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's people always argue that to be number one.
Yeah.
And then Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat.
Well, you know, there was the you know, they go back 70s, and then they had a rivalry in the 80s. And then the 90s, the trilogy in the 90s that also included the event in Chicago. I mean, that to me, that is the greatest trilogy of matches back and forth. And most of that, if you think about it, most of that time, Steamboat was the champion.
Yeah.
You know, he won it the first time, held it through, and then lost it the third time.
Was over.
Oh, without a doubt.
Some great stuff. Oddly enough, I would also say Starrcade 93 against Big Van Vader.
Ooh. Yeah. Are you talking about the one where Mean Gene went in the limo to pick him up at his Charlotte house? Is that the one?
I interviewed him.
It was real serious. Like, they drove him to the arena, got out, and like he kissed his kids goodbye. Charlotte and David Flair were little.
And I mean, also too, it was a career. It was supposed to be, if he didn't go over, his career would end. It was a retirement match. That's what was so significant about it.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Well, you know, when you're talking about retirement matches, I mean, you know, Flair against Shawn Michaels. What was that?
That
24,
one.
WrestleMania 24, 25. And this is Ric Flair at a time when most people shouldn't even be trying to have a match. And Ric Flair, you know, we were talking about Buff Bagwell, you know, this recent VPW, and Buff Bagwell's biggest move was using his semi-good arm to do a semi-clothesline. And here's Ric Flair at an even older age at this time.
Yep.
Against Shawn Michaels. Granted, Shawn Michaels is one of those wrestlers we were talking about earlier that can make anybody look good.
Yeah.
But so is Ric Flair.
Yeah.
And Ric Flair was able to do that up until that, what was supposed to be his last match.
Yeah.
And probably, if you think, you got to really throw TNA out of there. Because really, nothing he did in TNA even comes close to the caliber of the match he had at WrestleMania against Michaels. And then the next night on Raw, addressing the crowd.
And then Undertaker coming out after everybody had already came out.
And did his spiel.
And didn't Ric Flair, like, hand choose Shawn Michaels to be his...
I believe he did.
If you trust anybody, it would be Shawn around that time.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, we had, you know, some people kind of like wondered why he didn't pick Triple H, you know, for their closeness, you know. And a lot of people think about their match in 2005, where it was a Taboo Tuesday or something like that.
Yeah.
As a great WWE, WWF match as well. So, of course, you know, I know Kenny here is more partial to the Hollywood Hogan Ric Flair stuff. You know, what kind of sucked about that is, you know, you remember for years we always wanted Hogan and Flair.
Yeah.
And when it finally happened in WWF, it really wasn't all that.
Yeah.
Flair's time in WWF was kind of minimal at best. It had a few great spots, but
yeah. You got arguably the greatest wrestler ever versus the greatest character ever.
Yeah.
And we all kind of knew it wouldn't live up to what we thought in our minds it would be, but it would just be cool to see those two names on the card, you know, main event and the thing. And it was okay. They were a little past their prime. We all kind of wanted to see it back in the day, but...
Yeah. And by the time they did it in WCW, you know, Flair and the Horsemen were like an afterthought.
Yeah.
Everybody was an afterthought to the NWO.
Exactly.
You know, so...
They had already let Mongo and Michaels in the Four Horsemen, so it was shit.
Yeah,
Drizzlings to be exact.
One that a match that some people might not think, because you know immediately you're thinking marquee matches at pay per views or early main TV events like Starrcade and stuff. 1993, Raw, Flair versus Mr. Perfect.
Mr. Perfect is always
He
made everybody look great. He was the best seller I've ever seen.
Well, and then once again, at the time period, you had Flair still at the top of his game. I mean, and two good wrestlers. They were both talented at wrestling, in ring psychology, chemistry. I mean, how could you go wrong?
Yeah. If we had Kurt Hennig here today to be behind the scenes developing talent and stuff like that, do you know how good wrestling would be?
Very good.
Yeah.
I mean, he had it. Yeah. He had some stuff. I don't even know if you could teach what he known, but I'd like for him to try.
I mean, look at the heritage of Kurt Hennig. That just was amazing. And the fact to add to that match, which you mentioned, Stoney, was that was another retirement match with actually Loser Leaves WWE. And actually, Flair didn't go over and left the WWE after that match with Kurt Hennig.
To go back and languish in WCW.
But Rick's had a million matches. After we turned this podcast off and y'all are headed home and I'm eating pizza or what the hell ever, we'll thank each one of us about five other matches that were monumentally epic.
Up next week. Starrcade 83 against Harley Race.
Oh my gosh.
We talked about that one a few weeks ago. That was an epic match. Another 60-minute match.
You couldn't go on WrestleMania 8. Come on. We were talking about this a little while ago. Flair against Savage.
Oh, yeah. Oof, man.
I mean, it's just astonishing to think, you know, most wrestlers, you think one or two matches. You think they're prime. But you think of Ric Flair, you're going back to Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling Classic matches. You're talking about the 80s, where he was almost always the champion. The first half of the 90s, where he was doing WWF, WWE, then back in WCW. Then he ended up back in the WWE. I mean, think about it. I mean, he had classic moments everywhere, you know, so.
And another one, too, even though you may not see much of him, he had some very, I mean, the rare title versus title match. A WWE and AWA title, Rick Martel and Bob Backlund, those were some classic battles as well. I mean, you had the NWA title versus AWA title. Granted, the match would probably end in a count out or time limit draw or disqualification primarily, but the fact of the matter is, they had a match in Japan, Backlund and Flair, and I think Martel and Flair had a match in Japan, or they would have it somewhere, and it was classic. So, I mean, most people don't forget about those title versus title matches.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about earlier about the This Week in History was the very last Clash of the Champions. Flair versus Sting at the very first Clash of Champions.
They were the last one and the first.
Classic stuff.
The last match was a little weird because they knew it. We didn't really know it, you know what I mean? But they knew it. Let's wrestle. Ric Flair wrestled with a Four Horsemen shirt on.
He wrestled in a t-shirt, let's put it that way.
That was one of Ric Flair's. That's one of the matches he regrets the most. That last one, like, he's not proud of it at all.
You know, it's funny because, you know, we were talking about earlier about him against him and Hogan, you know, finally WWE happening. I think even though he languished and really didn't do much in WCW, I would say if there is going to be a match considered a top Flair Hogan match would be 94 Bash at the Beach.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Which one? They kind of jumble up.
So yeah, after a while it just kind of gets, but you know, we've had on the video show, we've had a bunch of different ones where he's taken on, you know, all kinds of people that you just were like, who? Yeah. You know, for the title, a lot of times in Florida, and a lot of them were people that were from the Rock and Roll Express. Ricky from the Rock and Roll Express had a singles title match that you can see on YouTube against him. What was it? Was it Sullivan? Kevin Sullivan? There's just been so many wrestlers that have had title matches that you can find from different house shows and stuff. So,
And what's amazing, too, another thing about Ric Flair was he was also the prevent rioting wrestler. So he would go to the Caribbean in the 80s. He wrestled Jack Veneno in the Dominican Republic, and supposedly Jack Veneno was the NWA champion, and he did the same thing with Carlos Colon in Puerto Rico to avoid the riot. So he was also the avoid, and he also was like him and Harley Race would were on a foreign tour and just traded the title back and forth. Mm-hmm. I mean, this it was just the trust, the respect the Ric Flair brought to the table with Harley Race, legendary champion. Just what he brought and who he helped build up. I mean
Flair versus Wahoo.
Oh, classic.
That's more classic stuff.
Did him and Abdullah ever have matches? Did they ever meet up in the
same
places?
I'm sure they probably crossed up. Probably not a championship match.
Probably a tag match.
I'm trying to remember if they were just at the same place, same time to have them.
What was the fan cam one that we found? It was a cage match, Flair versus Piper. So that was probably Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling. So
I think it was.
If you want to see some really, really good Flair matches that are not commonly talked about, you can go to YouTube and there are a lot of great, I mean, him tagging up with people that you never knew he tagged up with against other people that you never knew tagged up against each other. You know, in some great matches, and just go on there and find some of the stuff, especially from the late 70s, is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, so he had a pretty good series with Nikita Koloff.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, is pretty much necessary because, I mean, I think Nikita Koloff and Hulk Hogan had the pretty much the same move set.
Yeah.
So
I remember them feuding for a while. That was, I was heavy into wrestling, and it was summer. I remember it was the summer because I was out of school.
Yeah.
I remember that. God, he's feuding with everybody. It's probably easier to name who he hasn't wrestled.
Oh, yeah. I think this one of the saddest things ever, and not just for him, just for the fans, is I think, and we talked about this not too long ago, about the what could have been's. I think it's sad that we never got to see a championship rivalry between him and Magnum TA.
Yeah.
I think that could have possibly been special along the lines of what he did with Steamboat. I think a lot of what he ended up, but I think at the same time, I think a lot of what he ended up doing later with Steamboat was a result of Magnum not being in that spot, because Magnum and Steamboat kind of filled that same kind of spot against Flair. So there's pros and cons to that. I think if we if Magnum would have been around, we might not have seen Flair Steamboats. But at the same time, it would have been nice to see Flair Steamboat.
Yeah.
We had this match on our show.
Yeah.
Cornette getting cake face.
Yep.
So. Jimmy Cake Net.
And another thing, too, we talked about the good matches. I mentioned the world titles, but also him and Barry Windham, they had some classics.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was...
Steve votes for Flair Luger for number one. Kenny votes for
Flair Luger.
Not Kenny, but Steve.
They had a few.
Whoever, either or.
I mean, seriously, the guy has seriously fought everybody.
Oh, yeah. Of course, you know, we haven't even mentioned him against Dusty Rhodes.
Man, they've wrestled.
This is on Monday's show.
About 400 or 500 times.
Monday.
Yeah.
Monday, Dusty, Rick.
Yeah. So tell me, I mean, before we, like, shoot on out of here, guys. The match, I mean, of course there's Magnum TA. But if you would have took any other wrestler in time, in their prime, and you could have put him up against Ric Flair in his prime, that we never got to see, who would it be? Yeah, I know you're going to say John Cena, right, Stevie?
No, I'm laughing at Cornette going off on this dude. I got cake in my hair, and I'm mad as hell.
Cornette's mom's watching this. He should be mad.
No, but there's Bill Watts.
Just got embarrassed. Now Bill Watts is going to come try to lay smack him down. Ric Flair. There's a lot of people. Actually, a lot of people.
Did you know, because there's matches against Dirty Dick Murdoch, you know. And, of course, you know, we didn't even mention, you know, the Von Erich matches. So, but, I mean, but, yeah, if there was, in any time, any even now, God forbid, any wrestler between, of all time in their prime, taking on Flair in his time that we didn't get to see.
I would probably say AJ, even though they kind of had a match one time, and that brand you said that didn't matter.
But
I think right now, even though he's almost 40, or will be 40 in a few months, I think AJ Styles is in his prime right now.
Yeah,
I think he's been great a long time, but I think he's in his prime, like confidence, in-ring ability, the ability to change up when adversity hits you in the ring. You know, logistics don't quite line up like you had talked about, and just to correct that on the fly, he's the best right now at that. There's no, like, awkward moments with him. There's no, like, ooh, that's a botch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's good. Him, Flair, and Flair's prime, like, back when he was fighting Harley Race, that would have been decent. Would have been pretty good. There's plenty of others that you wish you could kind of see how it went. But today's wrestlers and Ric Flair, it's kind of hard to say anything with today's guys because it's a whole different dynamic. You know, they have this whole character and this soap opera-ish thing going on. Ric Flair just went from territory to territory, you know, kicking ass and keeping the belt and drawing a lot of money.
Yeah.
Tons of money.
When he would go to different territories. He'd go to the Continentals. He would go to
Texas.
I mean, he would go to Mid-South, or he would go to wherever and
sell it out.
So I would go. He occasionally would go to the Pacific Northwest, which was the almost autonomous NWA territory. And if you wanted to build experience, you'd go up to Portland for Don Owen, who actually was he was actually in the original territory system, the last promoter to stand through the territory times was Don Owen.
I think Ric Flair's one of the few to get blessed by those promoters to say, hey, you can go have a moonlight over here, moonlight over here. But, man, he would do it, and he would go sell out all those places, and he would go beat the shit out of everybody's hometown hero, like, say, the Von Erichs. Keep the belt and have the police escort him out of there so he don't die. And, I mean, he was just great.
Of course.
Great.
I would have liked to have seen the match everybody wanted to see. And I would have liked to have seen Flair and Hogan in the
80s. Yeah, that would have been good.
You know what I mean? So I know they could have crossed paths in Georgia Championship Wrestling, but I don't mean Boulder or Sterling Golden. I mean Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair.
Hulkamania versus the dirtiest player in the game.
Oh, wow, that would have
been great. That'd be great. Yeah. The yellow and red. And so, people would have paid so much money for that.
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
I don't know. Flair, an 80s, 80s Flair versus Santana would have been a good match.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's not really something you think of off the top of your head. Tito Santana.
No, I thought he was great.
But he was a really solid, good worker and a good wrestler and put on good matches. So
he lasted for Vince a long time.
A lot of people just remember the tag team Pan Am Express or Pan Am Connection. What was it called? The Pan Am Connection. Whatever it was, I remembered him as a singles guy because of Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling.
Yeah.
And I was like, Tito Santana.
Intercontinental champion.
Started watching it. He was great, man. He was, the women loved that dude.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of wrestlers that would have been nice to see Flair go against, mainly 80s wrestlers.
You know, the Nature Boy versus the Nature Boy.
They wrestled.
And also Buddy Rogers too.
There were so many dang Nature Boy, because we had Nature Boy Stan Lane on the show not too long ago.
Well, he actually got his name from my buddy.
So you know, Flair had a short program with PSAs. You know, so it's kind of hard because Flair didn't go out of his way to skip too many wrestlers.
Yeah.
So really, you really have to like find 80s wrestlers that were predominantly WWF for him to go against. And,
yeah.
You know, so. I don't know. That'd be a tough call. So.
Junkyard Dog, before they went to WWF, did they ever wrestle again?
They probably did some wrestling mid-South.
Yeah,
maybe Alabama probably. Territories, yeah. Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling.
That would have been good.
That would stand to reason. So.
I know they were good friends. I've seen all the legends of Wrestling Roundtable with Ric Flair. Oddly enough, said that they have been really close friends.
I got it. Ric Flair against Ole Anderson this week.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, yeah.
In a grouch match. I mean, grudge match. Sorry.
In an airport.
Yeah, there you go.
Can you believe the price of these magazines?
I was thinking of Denny's.
There you go. Or, how about Flair in his prime against Stevie's favorite wrestler in their prime, the Fabulous Moolah?
I was actually thinking a few minutes ago, like, I was kind of in my head dreaming up, like, an intergender tag match.
Yeah?
Like, Flair and Moolah, but I couldn't think
Flair,
of the other
Flair and Moolah, that's kind of like almost Flair versus Harley Race.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of another team.
Moolah probably smokes more cigarettes than Harley
Race. Yeah, probably. And, yeah, we were talking about, you know, back then, you know, when men were men. I mean, you know, this is, you know, how does Flair get ready for a match? He stretches. How does Race get ready for a match?
Yeah.
He hits the cigar as hard as he can.
Yeah. Man,
drinks a beer.
Now you see Harley Race in interviews. He had the old front T-shirt pocket with the back.
Yeah. Harley Race is that guy that walked around even when he was part of Creative, and walked around, stick his head in there. Like, what are you doing? I'm shaving my chest. You're what? Shaving my chest. Oh my god! Just walk off. Forgot who said that.
Shaving his chest when he's going to wear a wire. And
nah, just how wrestlers in his days, yeah. You know, they were like Magnum TA and all of them. And people like Ric Flair shaved their chest. You know what I mean? And
well, it is pretty gross if you got sweaty, wet chest hair and you're rubbing up against somebody.
Yes, but there was a time that, trust me, like people would look at you and go, what is that little queer boy doing?
Yeah.
You know,
the other night at the VPW show, I did a little like after match interview with Effie Gibbs, and like we did like a, you know, like a bro hug, and you know, I walked out of the room like my left arm was soaked from his sweat. I was just like, well, all right.
Yeah. You were in the Sweetwater Gym.
Yep.
Oh goodness.
Yeah, that's crazy. But right. Times they are changing.
Yep. Speaking of time.
Yeah, we're probably about out of time. Well, we usually are out of time, but we kind of let it run a little bit.
It's yep, and I'm about ready for a cigar.
Well, no, I don't know about that.
Jesus. Cigarettes and cigars and coffee.
God, remember those days?
Hey, shout out to our buddy Chris Eflin. He's in the hospital. He has some like major thing. A little pimple turned into like a big, huge MRSA infection. He listens to our podcast pretty often. He actually commented about if we had an app, that guy. Anyway, I think he's got to spend another like week at the VA hospital.
Oh, no.
We'll get better, man.
Yeah, he will get better, man.
He does listen to us, so and I made sure to put it at the end where he'd have to listen to all our bullshit.
Oh, yeah, so,
to get to, you can't fast forward this podcast.
Shout out to your buddy. What was his name again?
Chris Eflin.
Chris Eflin Jr.
Chris Eflin. Hey, how about this?
Get better.
How about
we send him
get better, Chris Eflin and Ric Flair? How's that?
Yeah.
Your name and Ric Flair's in the same sentence.
There,
how's that?
Hey, yeah.
Oh, heck yeah.
Right?
You know, you guys are our heroes. You know, fight the medical fight.
There you go. So this week's tag team of the week, Chris and Ric.
There we go.
Oh,
there
yes.
You go.
Need them to go and kick out.
There you go. Good.
Sweet, sweet. All right, well, thanks for tuning in and hanging out with us for this hour or so, or however long it's been.
And don't forget, Monday... on the same GWH history website, watch the weekly video show. We're taking a break from the regular episodes, but we will have a mini-sode, which Will and Mike actually guest on for this upcoming week, and we'll be showing great house match, championship match, Ric Flair versus Dusty Rhodes from 1986.
Oh, yeah, 86.
And actually, we can't forget Mr. also guest on the show.
That's right. Yeah, Mr. Is in the show. So
there he is.
Yeah, see, we're gonna have a little mini-series for a few weeks before we get back to our regularly scheduled hour or so long broadcast. So
there you go. And then, of course, tune in to
the Sudcast. It's now on, the first airing is Saturday mornings, 8 a.m. It's a popular demand. It's pretty good. The stories are good. So if you want some Americana, in fact, one feature I've heard was the first car phone was in one of the more recent Studcasts. So, and this was in the early 50s. The first car phone was in the early 50s.
There you go. Hey, Ron, don't forget to send that $10 to Will, all right?
$10.99.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, there's no Saturday morning cartoons anymore. Like who does that? So get up and listen to this podcast.
You know? And if you even are listening to this, don't forget on the GWH Network, there's also on Thursdays Peach State Pandemonium with a bunch of veterans from around the Georgia and Carolinas, and then there's the two shows on Tuesday nights. Tune into those. It's all free. Listen to them. Pretty much all them other shows, including the Studcast, all have important, really cool, knowledgeable information, all of them but this one.
And you can find the general hub for all of this content at gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com.
So, yeah, we're just here because we got nothing better to do.
So your assignment for this weekend is Saturday, get up, Studcast it.
Right? Yeah.
Doing that. And then later, NXT from Brooklyn.
You just said Saturday, get up, Studcast it. Do you realize you just said get up? Studcast it. Somehow, some way,
I'll get it, but it's a...
Hey, if that becomes your new tagline, I mean, you gotta get royalties on that.
All right! It's the Studcast time to get it up!
Every Saturday when Cowboy Bob Orton got up, and it's like, oh, I got a Studcast now.
All right, take us home, man. Right.
Well, once again, I've been Kenny J here with John Stoney Cannon, Will Wheeler, Mike Garrett, and Mr. Who is somewhere in the house. And we'll see you guys next, we'll see you Monday, and then we'll see you next Friday again. So have a great weekend. Be safe, be cool, be great.
All right.
Well, everybody. Peace.